repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Have you ever been refreshed by the Lord?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's I like that one. You walk into a situation around you, in the church. When I was, again, out west, a friend of mine was putting on a revival in Wichita. And he and two other ministries kind of came together and were holding meetings, great meetings. And I went down to it and went over and checked in the motel, and then I went over to the meeting, and I sat down in the back row because I was beat. I was tired. I was worn out. I was beat. It's not that I didn't want to be there. It's just that I just kind of wanted to be left alone. So I'm sitting back there, minding my own business, and the wife of one of the ministers comes in and says, "Hey, you come up here."
Yeah.
"You come up here." I said, "All right, so I'll go up there." So I was sitting there, and God started giving me a vision concerning this mini revival that was going on, which just the fact that God was doing that was refreshing. But the man was there for it was the evangelist that was there, Jeff Jansen, came over and prayed for me. Man, oh man,
he's powerful.
Oh. And he it really changed my ministry.
Amen.
And things really started to change, and the breakthrough started to come. Continuing here in this article, at first glance, it appears that sickness and disease are man's lot in life, inevitable and unavoidable, due to the taint of sin that has affected the entire human race. The law continually warns that man's waywardness will lead to tragedy. In addition, there are numerous references to God's ability and desire to heal, expressed in his promises. Finally, the Old Testament describes God as a healing God. It points forward to a new era of healing power. Firstly in the ministry of the Messiah, and then through the Messianic community, the church. This mystery is to be made available through the sacrifices of Jesus Christ on the cross. The very last chapter of the Old Testament, I need somebody to look up Malachi 4, verse 2.
"But to you who fear my name,
hallelujah,
the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves."
Amen. The promise.
Yes, hallelujah.
It's our promise. That article was from Tony Cauchy of The Voice of Healing, which is a very interesting website. About, it's all on healing. And there's a lot of stuff on there. So, one of the first instances of healing I can find is in Genesis 20. So we need a Genesis 20, verse 17 and 18 reader. What was some of you young people back there?
Genesis 20 what?
Huh?
20. 20,
Genesis 20, 17 and 18.
Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
So, we have to remember the story here. Abraham and Sarah actually lied to Abimelech, and Abraham told him that Sarah was his sister. And Abimelech snatched her up, so to speak, and was going to take her for his wife. And then God intervened in the whole situation. And it's amazing to me that the man that did the sin, Abraham, because the man that prayed, and the whole thing got healed. It's just the way God works. Deuteronomy 7:15.
You want me to read what?
Deuteronomy 7:15.
Oh, 7:15.
Yes.
Okay. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible disease you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you.
Okay, we'll take away, let's look at a little Hebrew here. The word is sor, S-O-O-R. It's a primitive word to turn off, literally or figuratively, to take away, to turn aside, or to withdraw. So he will take away all of your sickness. That's a promise to the Lord way back in Deuteronomy 7:15.
Yeah.
And yet somehow we struggle with so many things that we do. And I'm guilty of this myself. You get used to doing it.
Yeah.
You know? Don't feel good, call the doctor. Instead of calling the Word of God is clear. Call for the elders of the church and number one. Pray and the prayer of faith will heal you. There's many, 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 many times that God has touched my body and given me strength, pulled me from death's door. And it is a battle. It's my health has been the battle of my life. And it's been hard. It's been expensive. And I know God has purpose, and I know God wants to use me. And I know God is dealing with me on many levels concerning this region and what is to happen here, what He wants to happen.
Yep.
How he wants to do it. I am totally and completely understanding of all that. And I want to do whatever he wants me to do. He is also my provider. It takes money to do some of this stuff. A lot of money. It seems to go out a whole lot easier than it comes in. But it's up to him, you know, it's he is God. And I believe his word. He said it, he'll do it. He'll do it in his time frame, not mine.
That's right.
Okay, sickness. Again, referring to what he's taken away. The Hebrew word is koli. It's a malady, anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, or sickness. Total King James occurrences are 24. Diseases is magnified. Sickness or disease? All these things, God has made a way. Even in the Old Testament, it just blows my mind. Even in the Old Testament, He made a way for us to be free of this stuff. You know, He's such a kind, loving, good God.
Amen.
Psalm 30 and 2, verse 2.
Lord, my God, I call you. Oh, I called to you for help, and you healed me.
Hallelujah. Psalm
30. 30, verse 2. If you guys want a copy of these notes, you're welcome to them. I can't vouch for the English or the punctuation, but everything's right. I didn't have time to run it through. I really didn't have time to run back through it and fix everything. Okay, healed. A primitive fruit properly to mend by stitching. So there you go, stitches are godly. That is figuratively to cure, to cause to heal, a physician to repair or thoroughly make whole. Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals even in the Old Testament, a part of the nature of God, is to heal. Is to save, to heal. I've always preached to you about Psalm 91. He who dwells in the sacred place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You want God to work in your life, or God to work in your life and through your life, you have got to be dwelling in His presence.
Yes.
It's vital. The book of Proverbs talks about healing in our bones. Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. And then somebody can be looking up Isaiah 35. Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. Isaiah 35, starting in verse 1.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Amen.
Amen. Every part of the way that we are made, and wonderfully, truthfully, wonderfully made we are. God has spoken that He can heal us. One day in Kansas, I was working and helping one of my church members build conveying systems for corn. Well, corn, wheat, grain, basically. And I took a spill. And I broke this leg. And I had another pastor that was working with me. And then the man I was working for, a wife, was on my board. And she said, I'm going to call an ambulance. I said, oh, no, you're not. I said, you start praying in tongues. So they both started praying. And God, knit that bone back together.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I went back to work.
They just want wanted you to work.
Right, Ariel.
Well, after. So I didn't think too much of it until I went to, I had a bone scan, and it's a routine thing. And the lady that was doing the bone scan had mentioned that whoever set that bone did a great job. And I said, yeah, I did, didn't he? He said, it's perfect. I said, yes, it is.
Amen.
My God is perfect.
Yes, hallelujah.
Okay, who's got 3, 7, and 8? Well, we did that. Isaiah 35, 11. I'm supposed to be checking these off.
What verse in 35?
We're going to start with 1, and we're going to go all the way through 10.
Isaiah 35:1-10.
Okay, it says, in the wilderness, in the place called, be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. Even with joint singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of God, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful in heart, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the compensated God, he will come to you and save you. More?
1 through 10.
10.
Okay. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become cool, and the thirsty land springs water. And the inhabitants of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. Young things shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but their redeemed shall walk there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing shall flee away.
Amen.
Sorry.
A fantastic prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
A poem, really.
Yeah, a song.
A song, yeah. God promised that he would show up.
Oh.
Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
He promised that he would show up. You go back, I'm going to go back to verse 3 for a minute. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. There's always a part when we invite God to do something that we have to do. We are co-laborers with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whether it's putting on a revival, a tent meeting and a revival, or whether it's just maintaining a relationship with Jesus Christ, there are things that are expected of us. There are places we shouldn't go, things we shouldn't do. There's definitely things we shouldn't say. But to strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees is just something that we have to mention again, I believe, in Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it's the scriptures mentioned again. Calling us to do what's necessary to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He will do his part, I'll guarantee you. Mm-hmm. It's up to us to do our part. Isaiah 35 is just such a promise. In this chapter, Isaiah records a stunning vision of God's presence.
Hallelujah.
Yahweh enters the scene and everything changes. Don't ever underestimate God to change things. the center of this poem is a key and a distinguishing demonstration of God's character and values and a hallmark of what it looks like when God shows up. Namely, when God shows up, human beings are restored and they are healed.
You know, Danny, that is so powerful because if we can just think of that highway of holiness, it says even the people who are fools, even the people
right.
who don't have it together, that when they get on that highway, nothing is going to happen to them at all because of his presence. That's powerful.
It's very powerful. My mother said it best. If you don't have something good to say about somebody, don't say anything.
Yes.
Because you never know. Someday, the situation may be changing, and you may be looking to that person for help.
Mm-hmm.
You may, that person may be your boss. He may wind up being, there's all kinds of things that can happen. Remember, it's not called a two-edged sword for nothing. Whoever you hit with that baby, you got a sharp edge looking right back at you. And he'll give it a little push once in a while to make sure it gets back there.
Yeah.
Smash him in the head.
You wouldn't have said that.
Okay. Pastor Joe. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And say it like you mean it.
Amen.
What was it?
Isaiah 53,
4 and 5.
4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions.
Hallelujah.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed.
Amen. We're going to go to work on two reasons all should believe. First of all, the book of Isaiah is full of healing prophecy.
Amen.
And supportive prophecy. And the book of Isaiah itself is an exhaustive study for healing. But I want to take a little look at some stuff. I've got a bunch of scriptures here. I came up with so many scriptures, I had to stop.
Yeah.
Because it was getting overwhelming. I was sitting there doing nothing, just going, staring at a computer screen, and I just had to set it down for a while. Because, I tell you what, it's, you know, a lot of people think that the internet is the devil's playground, and it is. But it is also just so many resources that are on there for Christian for preaching, for all this stuff to be happening. So the report itself, God has spoken by the mouths of the prophets since the world began.
Hallelujah.
Acts 3 and verse 1 and Acts 3 and 21.
Acts
3
what?
Acts 3 21.
Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And then what was the same one?
21.
I'm going to go up to 19 now. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The truth. The prophets speak the truth.
The Lord's been telling me for years, the culmination of all things is in him.
Yes.
He's been speaking that into my spirit, that it's all coming together. It's all been just like in a big funnel, and everything just being squeezed together.
Mm-hmm.
And the culmination of all things is at hand. And when that squeezing is complete, Christ will return to his church.
Yes.
Not a minute before, not a minute later. No man knows the day or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
People start telling you that they know when Christ is coming back, it's time to run the other way.
That's right.
Okay, now.
What was that last scripture?
Here we go.
Acts 3:21.
Another thing that I want to talk about here, that I don't have in my notes, of course, is the power of unity.
Hallelujah.
Knowing that God is a God of unity, he's a God of order,
yes,
and a God of unity. When people come together in the same accord, and I'm not talking about a car. I mean, we're walking together, we're praying together, we're doing communion together, we're fellowshipping together. All the things that we are doing here are vitally important for not only the health of the body, the ecclesia, it's also important for that, for the going forth. Going out and leading people to Christ, witnessing, praying for people to be healed. Power evangelism is a lot of fun. God heals somebody on the street, and you ask him, do you want to meet the person to heal you? And they will say, oh, no, thank you. I've done that. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's vitally important that we speak the right things, say the right things, that we use wisdom and understanding and knowledge to do that, and that we spend time in God's presence.
Hallelujah.
That's where the refreshing comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, when I just put some music on, some good anointed music, I just shut the door of my office, put my feet up, and I sit.
Hallelujah.
I get more out of that than I do,
yep,
than I do anything.
Hallelujah.
Because he comes and he talks to you.
Yeah.
So, here Peter and John, going up to the temple, it's mentioned 7 times in the book of Acts. I'm not going to have you look, for the sake of time, I'm not going to look up all that, but I have those here if you want. Now I'm scribbling all over this copy, so I'm going to give it to you. Okay, B, the ninth hour was 3 in the afternoon.
Yes.
Jews had 3 hours of prayer a day. Well, I knew that they prayed 3 times a day. I did not understand this correlation, however. At 9 o'clock, at noon, and at 3 p.m., they thought that Abraham instituted the first, Isaac the second, and Jacob the last. God himself began the long list of prophecies of the coming Redeemer by promising that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head and restore man's dominion. Genesis 3:15 and 16. Somebody go after that one. In Genesis 21 and 12.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Mm-hmm. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.
A little heavy on the rule word there, brother.
Is that towards me?
I'm just reading scripture.
Mind your own business, reading the scripture. So it's through grief, pain, and sorrow.
Yeah.
That the best thing that could ever happen to mankind happened. Maybe. Abraham and Isaac spoke of him coming through their seed. That's Genesis. He's got 21 12. Genesis 21, verse 12.
So God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called.
Listen to whose voice?
Her voice.
Yeah.
Now, is there a little contradiction there?
There's just that one mention.
One word, Joe. Jacob said he would come from Judah. Moses predicted him as a prophet like himself in Deuteronomy 18. David referred to him as coming from his seed, 2 Samuel 7. Isaiah said he would be born of a virgin in Judah of the house of David, Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, and pictured his rejection and sufferings in Isaiah 52 and 53. Others also made reports of his coming, so Israel had no excuse for their unbelief when he came. With all of that, did they believe? A few did. Prepare you and me in the atmosphere for praying for people and seeing people saved and healed. That is the goal. This is all coming down to is getting people saved, getting them healed, getting them in church, and discipling them.
Yeah.
got to make disciples out of the people who lead to the Lord. You can't lead people to the Lord and just let them
go.
Float. Because they will be sucked right back into hell.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. That's one of the biggest problems I have with TV evangelists. Mm-hmm. Is the fact that they can say whatever they want to, but there's no way that they can possibly back it up.
Yeah.
Because they're not there. It almost gives people a sense that they can get saved and serve God without being involved in a church, and that's not true. There's things that only a church can do.
None.
So when you're praying for a person, you have to know. You have to know, without a doubt, who you are in Christ and where you're coming from. I can't emphasize that enough. Okay, number two, miracles confirming the report. The report was not only predicted and then literally fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, but there were also miracles confirming to Israel the fact that he was the true Messiah sent by God. And you can look a few of these up. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. Isaiah 42, 1 through 6. And Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Who's going to do what? I'm going to assign these now. Who wants Isaiah 11, 1 and 2?
I'll do it.
Okay. Then we need Isaiah 42, 1 to 6.
I'll do it.
Then we need Isaiah 61, 1 and 2.
Got it.
So who's got Isaiah 11, 1 and 2?
Vicki,
go ahead.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord.
Okay, remember we're talking about the prophecies concerning Jesus, what he will do, what he's going to do. Isaiah 42, 1 through 6.
Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. I bruise reed, he will not break. The smoke flax, he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fall nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which came from it, who give breath to the people on it, and spirit of those who walk on it. And I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and have pulled your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant in the people, as a light to the Gentiles.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 11, 1 to 6.
Now it came to pass.
What did you?
Yeah.
Oh, 61, 1 and 2. I'm sorry.
that Kira has that one.
Who's got, you got it?
61:1.
Yeah, I thought you had Kira.
I have that.
Oh, you're.
Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn.
Amen. So whose job is it? It's our job.
Our, yeah, us, us.
It's our job. That is our job. Matthew 11:1-6.
Now it came to pass that when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do you seek for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you have heard and seen. The blind see and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not offend because of me."
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Great Jesus scripture. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
The arm of the Lord is figurative of his power, which Isaiah predicted would be revealed along with the report. Okay, now I know I had you read Isaiah 61:1-2. Now we need 3.
Isaiah 61:3.
Yeah. Read. You still got it, Joe?
Yeah.
Here, read 3 and 2, please.
To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The same piece of scripture was quoted by Jesus in Luke 18.
Yep.
Fulfilled in Luke 18. I believe that was the 74th prophecy of Isaiah, something like that. Upon me, the Spirit upon one indicates his moving one to do some supernatural work. I've got 14, 15 scriptures here. Let me pick out a couple of randoms here. How about 1 Samuel 10:10? And the Judges 15:14. And the Judges 3:10. We'll do those 3.
Judges 3:10,
Judges 15:14. 1 Samuel 10:10.
Yeah, Cheyenne will do 10:10.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
When they came there to the house, there was
prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied in the
Judges 15, 14.
When he came to Rehob, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands.
Mm-hmm. There's a manifestation.
Yeah.
How about Judges 3:10?
The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan,
Rusha, Benmana, king of the Ram,
king of Mesopotamia,
into the hands of Othman, who was overpowered him.
There's not one example that is given of a spirit coming upon one who remained powerless to do what he was called to do. In other words, if you're obedient and in the will of God, to do what you're called to do, he will always be there to strengthen you and give you what you need to do. Obedience is tantamount to seeing God move in any given situation. You have to understand that.
Hallelujah.
You've got to be obedient. Because whatever he tells you to do, if you do that and you're faithful to do that, you will go on to something greater, and something greater, and something greater. You don't ever start at the top.
No.
You start at the place he starts you at, and you go from there. I'm not going to say you start at the bottom because you're not at the bottom. If you're a child of God, that's not where you're at.
That's good.
Okay, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He set me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The twofold ministry of the Messiah. Number one, he's anointed to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, the destitute, and the needy. It's delivered to captives in sin, sickness, and in death. Acts 10:38. Let's go to Hebrews 2:14 and 15. We're getting there. We just got three or four more pages to go. Excuse me? Acts 10:38, Hebrews 2:14 and 15.
Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Don't ever be afraid to bind the strong man. Your own life, when you're praying for people, it's got to be bound. There's one of the greatest ways of binding the strong man is to have a person confess in your own sin before you even pray for them. I've seen people that have been afflicted with cancer healed. And it was done by confessing generally something being held against somebody or whatever, and then God would heal them. You have to be obedient. Again, you have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You have to be open to the Holy Spirit showing you what needs to be done. Hebrews 2:14-15.
So then, as children shared in flesh and blood, he likewise took part in these, so that through death he might destroy him who has power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were throughout their lives subject to bondage.
It's God.
Hallelujah.
The acceptable year, or number three, is the acceptable year or period is typified by the year of Jubilee, when liberty was proclaimed to all people on the day of appointment, on the day of atonement.
Hallelujah.
That's the book of Leviticus, chapter 25:13. I'm not going to have to read that. When the atonement of Christ was fully embraced, the sick, sinful, helpless, and needy are restored. Health, holiness, power, prosperity, full dominion over Satan, and membership and communion in God's family. Number two, anointed to heal. Mm-hmm. The broken in heart, mind, soul, and body. Acts 10:30. Did we read that?
Yes.
Yes, we did. Number two, the blind in body, soul, and spirit, those in darkness. Let's do Matthew 4:16.
The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.
Amen. The light of Christ. Number three, the bruised, the completely crushed and shattered in life. That covers a lot.
Yeah.
The oppressed and the broken. Isaiah 58:6. Let's do Luke 13:16.
Say that again, Luke 13:16.
So I'm not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosened from this bond on the Sabbath. Can we read a little further? In 17, and when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitudes rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
I had a young lady, I was in Kansas, no, actually, her pastor, called me up and wanted me to come down and help him with her house, the son was seeing some, well, they're basically demons, and he wasn't sleeping at night, and there's just all kinds of nasty things were starting to happen. This young lady had curvature of the spine so bad that she was on her way to see, well, would have gone, I think, that week to see a doctor because her spine was so twisted that it was on the nerves and shutting down her organs. And they were concerned about the fact that it would kill her, which I guess eventually, if it gets bad enough, it will. So I went, set a date and went down there, met them, and then we went over to her house, and she started to explain all this, what was going on, and the Lord was talking to me and told me, he says, I want you to pray for her. So I prayed for her, short prayer, she went down on the floor. And she got up about 3 or 4 minutes later, she was totally healed, straight as, and she grew like an inch and a half. When they got everything, you know, the twisting and turning out of her, it kind of scared me, because when she hit the floor, she started screaming in pain. I thought, that's not my usual way of being. But the Lord, the Spirit told me, said, you've got to bind the pain, because her bones are being moved.
Wow.
That was exciting. Why do I even bother telling you that? None of this is about me. I can heal nobody. It's all about God.
Hallelujah.
But in the testimony, that testimony has the power to repeat itself.
Hallelujah.
Any testimony, cold, bloody nose, a broken leg, a twisted body, somebody dying of some disease that God heals, it's repeated under the power of the testimony. It's a promise of God. Okay, I promise I'm going to get this done. Anointing. Is Malsheka, is the Hebrew word. The primitive root to rub with oil, that is to anoint by implication to consecrate, also to paint. So you are painted with God's anointing.
Hallelujah.
We are. We all are.
Well.
No. 71 occurrences. Isaiah 10:27, I'm going to read this one. In the name of Jesus. It shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil, or the presence of the Holy Spirit. God's touch and call on your life, his anointing, is what allows you to do all signs and wonders. Can people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit do signs and wonders?
Not real.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The devil can do the same thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, you've
shown signs.
It's hard for me to. I'm going to be disgraceful. I'm going to get out of this. How about amen?
Amen.
Jeremiah 30:17 says, in part, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord.
Amen.
Jeremiah 30:17. That word there, health. And I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce It's a sense of restoring to soundness, wholeness, literally or figuratively, health. Made up, protected.
Oh, yeah.
Jehovah Rapha, the God who is you. Alrighty, I'm going to close this up here. I need somebody to go to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Starting in verse 15 through 18.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will, not shall, but will recover.
Amen. There's a lot in there. But I want to look at one word. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved.
Yeah.
And that word, again, is sozo.
Yes.
What does it mean?
And what's more, to save, that is to deliver or protect, literally or figuratively, to heal, preserve, save, do well, be or make whole.
What does it mean to take up serpents?
Excuse me?
What does it mean to take up serpents?
You know, I knew somebody was going to ask me that question.
I saw it on my videos.
What it means, what it refers to, is it refers to when Paul was on the island of Malta.
Yeah.
Malta.
Oh, yeah.
And he got bit by the viper, and he shook
it
off.
Yeah, he shook
it
off.
That is what it's referring to, that type of situation. It is not saying go and grab a copperhead and shake it up and carry it around church.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will get bit and
you
will die.
That's good, because there are people that do that. Paul.
There are people that do that. Kentucky and Tennessee, there are all kinds of places down there that are doing it. And a lot of them have died, and they still have not learned.
Yes. Wow, this is great.
Do not tempt the Lord.
Yeah,
that's
amen.
Right, you're tempting God. You are putting yourself in danger, and you're out of the will of God.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But people take that scripture to mean that I can handle these snakes and not get hurt. Yeah, confusing, isn't it? How do they get there?
Yeah.
It's just one of the many things that where people have taken the Word of God and they've
out of context.
Mm-hmm. And without understanding, knowledge or wisdom and try to do something, then they wind up getting hurt. I have known people, one of them was in my church, that out of disobedience, she had a false tongue. And she would use this false tongue, and I never felt comfortable with it, and I finally asked her, I said, explain to me how you got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And she said, I got prayed for and nothing happened, so I just came up with this on my own. And I said, do not do that in my church. You are pulling down condemnation on yourself. Because because you're taking something that a free gift that God has given you and you perverted it in trying to use it for the kingdom of God. It will not work. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't do it. 3 weeks later, I was doing a funeral. You do not mess with the things of God. You do not mess with Satan. You do not mess with the things of God. We have got to do things God's way. If we do things God's way, His promises are sure they will happen. When the time is complete, the bowl is full of prayers, it will be poured out, and God's will be done. Amen.